In both of these stories, there are messianic overtones. Of course, Christ is the Messiah, and Peter says to him, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." And everything before that flows up to that and into that, and everything after that flows out from that. Christ is the center of human history. He's the center of reality. Everything flows in and out of Christ. So centuries before that, we have this little story about Eliakim being taking the place of the chief steward of the palace. And the Lord says, to him I will give the key of David. And then Christ says to Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This is messianic. This is whatever you open shall be open. Whatever you close shall be closed. This is some kind of participation in Christ before and after. Eliakim, centuries before, is part of that line of David from which the Messiah comes. So he's given the key of David. And then Christ says to Peter, you are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, which will possess the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you loose shall be loosed, and whatever you bind shall be bound. In other words, God comes in the form of a human being in Jesus at one point in human history. But that's not some aberration out of the rest. It's a fulfillment of everything that had gone before. And that the human race was not only being prepared for that by God, but they were already participating in that reality in human persons. Eliakim would be one example. King David would be another example. Moses would be another example. Noah would be another example. Jeremiah, another example. In other words, when you look back at the Old Testament, you see that a participation in the messianic mission of Christ was already not only being prepared, but participated in by various people, in fact, the whole human race. And so then after Jesus is telling them, from now on, I'm going to die and rise and return to the Father, but I will live on in you. And you will be my presence. You will be participating in this messianic mission of mine for the rest of the human race until the kingdom. It's such an awesome mystery that we are somehow trusted by God. Despite our sin, despite all the frailty of the human race, and the Old Testament is fraught with sin and stories of failure and abandonment of the people by the people, the fickleness of the people, they're on again, off again, they reconcile with God, God always forgives them, but there's this instability within the human race, within the Jewish nation, within the religion. And since then, in the 2,000 years of the church's history, it's fraught with frailty and sin and darkness, as well as light and hope and peace and justice. We are a sign, we the church are a sign of the kingdom to come. I think we need to hear that over and over again, because we can get so stuck in our hopelessness, and we can look at our world and say, how can the kingdom ever come out of this? There's so much injustice, and there's so much tragedy, and natural disasters, and oppression by one nation against another, and leaders against their people, and, you know, on and on. How can God see the messianic promise in us, in our world? But God somehow sees something in us that we often don't see. In our darkest hours, in our depression, in our sense of hopelessness, we can begin to think that there is no hope. But you know, St. Paul says, hope isn't hope unless the situation is hopeless. Hope that's based on reality, based on evidence, that's not hope. That's just, you know, believing in what's possible. Hope is what God has for the human race, despite every evidence to the contrary. And our job, our sharing in the mission of Christ, our sharing in the messianic mystery, is that we are the people who live in this hopeless world, but we have hope. We believe in the light at the end of the tunnel. We believe in the kingdom. We believe that grace is more powerful than sin, not only for ourselves as individuals, but for the church and for the world. We have God's vision. We have put on God's glasses. We don't look at the world in the same way that other people do. When you see the world through God's eyes, you see the potential. You see the possibility of grace and glory. And Sunday after Sunday, we come here and we participate in that mystery of salvation. We eat and drink of God. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we go out from here filled, renewed, refreshed with this hope, so that in whatever small, insignificant way, each of us, and we as a church, we as a body, the body of Christ, can bring hope to our world.